Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we don't just have them on because they're here locally, but also because they're playing some really doggone good football. And I'm not a moral victory guy, but when you watch this team, the Furman Paladins, and you watch what they've done this year, Georgia State was America's darling the first week of the year, upsetting Tennessee and really beating Tennessee going away. The next week, Georgia State has had a defensive back that said they'd get a tougher battle from Furman. And I think he meant it to zing Tennessee, but guess what? He was right. Furman led 20-3 before falling 48-42. I was looking at betting lines for Virginia Tech against Furman, and it was Virginia Tech by 26. And I was looking at that line the entire week, and I was thinking to myself, do I have the guts to make Furman my upset pick of the week? In the end, I didn't. My score was 31-30 Virginia Tech, and the Paladins had a 14-3 lead at halftime. This is a team, folks, that is playing some great football. They're number 16 in the FCS, and right now on Offsides, we are happy to be joined by their head coach, Clay Hendricks, for the first time here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Coach, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate your time. How are things?
Things are good. Things are good. It's great being with you. I certainly appreciate you having us on.
It's great to have you on, Coach. And boy, Coach, you know, when you get these games against FBS opponents, when you get the Georgia States, when you get the Virginia Techs, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, you know, you build those big leads, 14-3, 20-3. The reason for the comebacks by Georgia State and Virginia Tech in the second half, is it a depth thing between the two different levels of football, FBS versus FCS?
Well, I think sometimes it certainly can be. Obviously the Virginia Tech one was, we turned it over twice. Mm-hmm. You know, we gave them a short field and they got a score and then had another one. That was probably had as much to do with it as anything in that game. And then, I don't know, the Georgia State game was one of those games we just got into a little bit of a shootout. We had trouble stopping them, and they had a little trouble stopping us. And it just kind of went back and forth. And, I learned over the years, I've been in a part of a lot of these games. You know, you're at such a disadvantage. You're talking about, I know with us, we're about 25 scholarships under what they have. You know, you go to a place like Virginia Tech, and we don't have a player that, I looked it up, we didn't have a player they even offered a preferred walk-on spot to. And, you know, to compete in those games, you got to have something go your way. You got to have something going into the game. Maybe their quarterback's out. Maybe, you know, just something where it has a chance to level the playing field. And we really didn't. I actually thought our defense would match up and give us a chance. And I think at the end of the day, in those games, it's who can your defense have a chance to match up with. And I thought our kids played really hard. I didn't think we played particularly well on offense. And obviously Virginia Tech had a lot to do with that, especially up front. But, it's certainly a challenge. And I'm certainly not in favor of playing two of them, especially back-to-back.
I understand that completely. Well, Coach, please know that you had a lot of believers and a lot of people kind of eyeing that game as one where, you know, some people below the radar thought your team could be very competitive in that one. And you, in fact, you were very competitive in that one. So roughly 85 scholarships for FBS, and based on what you're telling me, Coach, about 60 for FCS. Why? How then do we even see a single FCS upset? And we see those year after year after year. And I think Furman is quickly entering the category of FCS team that you don't want to schedule if you're one of the big boys to start the year.
Well, I was here. You know, when I was a player here, we won one all 4 years. You know, we beat South Carolina, Georgia Tech, and NC State twice. I was here in 99. We beat North Carolina 28-3.
Wow.
You know, that day they didn't have a quarterback, you know, and we had a really good football team. So I don't know. I actually felt good about the matchup. I knew it was going to be a challenge for us. I certainly felt a lot better about it than I did a year ago over at Clemson.
Right.
Now, a lot of that was our opponent, but we're a much different group too. You know, and again, I think college football is all about matchups. And I think people sometimes trying to compare scores, you know, I don't think you can do that. I just think there's certain teams you're going to line up and have a chance to match up with a little bit better. And you know, for instance, Clemson hadn't been a good matchup for anybody. You know, I just felt like Virginia Tech's maybe somebody that tries to control the ball a little bit more and pound it at us. Where, you know, it's not a game where you feel like you got to score 40 points to win. You know, so I think that's what it comes down to a lot of times. We do some things offensively that I think kind of level the playing field a little bit. Some of the things we do in the option game, we're pretty multiple. That, you know, sometimes those people don't see every week. And you try to make it a little tougher on them from a preparation standpoint. But, you know, but again, you got to have some things go your way. And, you know, we got some turnovers first half and then did it in the second half. And, you know, certainly proud of our kids the way they fought. But I think we're probably getting to a point around here where if we're really disappointed we didn't win the football game, and we were, you know, I think we're getting to where we want to be.
That's fantastic. Clay Hendricks, coach of the Furman Paladins football team, joining us here on Offsides ESPN Upstate. 24 playoff teams in FCS, 4 in FBS. Clay, what can you tell me about the differences between those systems? You know, the argument against it in the FBS is that the regular season is the playoff, and that's what makes college football different. That's what makes college football special. Do you feel like the increased size at the FCS level lessens the importance of the regular season?
Well, probably not. I do think, you know, football is a tough playoff sport. Because, in my opinion, just because of the number of games that you play, you know, because I know I've been part of it here. You know, I was here when we played for 3 national championships, and, you know, those are long, long seasons. And particularly at a place like ours where our kids are taking real classes and have substantial workloads, you know, it certainly makes it challenging. I think the thing in the FCS, they've tried to expand to give more opportunities for more teams. There's always some arguments about who should be in, who shouldn't be in. But I will say this, you know, I spent 10 years at the Air Force Academy. We went to bowl games 9 times. Obviously weren't part of the playoff system, but there's something kind of unique about playing, and you never know if it's going to be your last game. You know, having a chance to settle it on the field, and I guess after having a chance to experience both, I kind of prefer the chance to play for a national championship over the chance to go play, you know, in a bowl game that maybe not doesn't carry a lot of weight.
I like that. I think the FCS system is fascinating. And Furman right now, number 16 in the FCS poll, is in prime position to do just that. Now you set your sights on the Southern Conference schedule here, Coach, and you know, what do you have to do in conference play now that we're through the non-conference to really achieve your goals here? What's priority for you?
Well, you know what you want to do. I mean, 2 years ago, our first year back here, you know, we did not, you know, we actually played for the conference championship the last week of the season, didn't get it done, got an at-large bid, you know, made it to the second round. A year ago, we get a share of the conference championship and don't get in. So it's pretty clear to our football team, we need to win our league and get the automatic bid. And that way you don't rely on some committee to decide whether or not they think you're one of the good, you know, a worthy team to be included. So that's our goal. Plain and simple, we want to win our conference championship. We want to get the automatic bid and get the playoffs. And our goal is simple here. We want to win another national championship. We've done it. A lot of people think you can't do it at the small private school with high academic standards. And, you know, we've proven you can. And I like our football team. I think we're talented. I think we're a fun bunch to watch play. I'd love to get more Greenville out here to see us play. But that's clearly our goal going forward. You know, those first couple games were great. I think they prepared us well. But now it's just a matter of trying to, you know, really for us, it's just go see if we can be the best team this Saturday.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that with the private school, with the high academic standards, and we're well aware of the challenges that the Vanderbilts of the world face. We've heard Brian Kelly at Notre Dame say that, you know, some of the players available to Georgia aren't available to us because of our academic standards, Stanford and so forth. How do you overcome that, Coach, on the football field when you might be sacrificing talent in recruiting in some instances?
Well, you know, the flip side of that is I see it as a positive. I just, when I sit here and look at our place, I'm standing here at my window looking out across our campus. We have a great school. You know, you have a chance to get an elite education. We have a beautiful campus. Our facilities are really good. You know, we've got a great football tradition. And I tell you, the thing that's a little bit different, this is a great city. So I think we have an incredible, you know, package to offer a kid. And, you know, getting an elite education, getting to play, you know, championship football. And I think for us, it's just the quality of people that you get to be around, those guys you have as teammates. And so I think, you know, our pool is significantly smaller, as you say. But I think, you know, for us, it's been if we're recruiting the right kid, they're going to see us for what we are. They're going to want to be a part of that. And then I think we've got to be a little different in our approach, you know, even on the field. We've got really bright kids. If you've seen us play, we are a pretty multiple group on offense. And, you know, we won a bunch of games with smart, tough kids, but we can still be talented too. I think the makeup of the kid we have makes us a challenging bunch to play against. And, you know, we don't win every game, but I think we're a tough bunch to deal with just because of the makeup of our kids. And I think that's why you see our kids fight to the very end like they did at Virginia Tech. And I just see those as advantages.
I see them advantages as well, and I think I do agree with everything you said. I think your team is innovative, exciting, fun to watch, intriguing. Some of these matchups, Georgia State, Virginia Tech, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat really, really pulling for your guys. And Clay, to your point, I've been in the area only 8 months. When my family visited for the first time in May from Florida – and from the Northeast, one of the things on our list of things to do was to visit Furman, and we took a walk around the clock tower and the lake and everything. And I've told everyone that'll listen, this is the prettiest campus I've ever seen. If there's a prettier college campus in America, I haven't seen it. You know, with the way they keep up the grounds and the gardens and everything that goes into that, it truly is. A special place, and there's some real high-quality football being played right here in our area. And, Clay, you're a big part of the reason why. It's been great having you on, Coach. Continued success to you. And let's make this a more regular thing, okay? I'd love to have you on again, check in with you a little bit later in the year.
That would be great. We certainly appreciate you having us on, and look forward to being with you again.
Thank you so much. Coach Clay Hendricks of the Furman Paladins, here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. And, you know, look, this is they proved themselves to be, and Lonzo, you heard me talk about it during the week of that Virginia Tech game. If I hadn't lost all five games the previous week in my pick'ems, and I was looking at my picks and I was saying to myself, man, I'm 4-6 and I'm not even picking against the spread in my blog, Mark My Words, which you can read on ESPNUpstate.com. This week's picks will be up today. I was 4-6 after 2 weeks, and then week three, I'm looking at that Furman Virginia Tech game, and I'm like, I've lost too many games. I want to take this risk and I can't. And the score I posted for that game was 31-30. The actual final, and Virginia Tech was favored by 26 points. I bet that game. Okay, I bet. And Coach Hendricks, I didn't want to tell him this, he won me some money with his team's performance because I knew Furman was going to give those guys a game. And they were up 14-3 at halftime, and they fell 24-17. And the kids were upset, and they turned the ball over. But they went to Blacksburg, and took on one of the most storied programs in the All Cupcakes Conference, formerly of the Big East, and Virginia Tech, dominant before it was the All Cupcakes Conference, and they gave them all they could handle. And I love that team. Furman's a great team, and I plan to get out to a game. I really, really do. They play this Saturday at 1 Paladin Stadium here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a beautiful place. Absolutely beautiful place. Alonzo, you have any experience with the campus there or no?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times.
What do you think?
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Absolutely gorgeous.
You should go there once it gets a little bit cooler and the leaves change.
Yeah, everyone's saying that, man. Everyone's saying you got to experience it when the leaves change, man. I can't wait to do just that. Okay, thanks to Coach Hendricks for the time. Appreciated that. Coming your way next, a couple of players are making me completely rethink the way I evaluate quarterbacks. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Folks, it's really interesting. We as men don't like to admit when we're wrong. And there are two players right now in the National Football League that are challenging everything I thought I knew about the quarterback position. And, you know, you've got your snobs in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. You've got your people that feel like, the analytics and all of these advanced statistics are the way to measure and evaluate everything. But for a long time in my career, I looked at quarterbacks and I said, you're responsible for helping a team win. And I did feel like you could evaluate and monitor a quarterback based on how well he was doing that with his team. And then you'd see it translate or you would not see it translate at the next level based on whether the guy was a winner. You know, the other day I asked you, what's a movie that you like that nobody else likes? And one of my two, and darn it, I forgot to bring it for you, Lonzo. Castaway was one of them, and the other one was Draft Day. One of my favorite scenes in the movie Draft Day is that the Browns and Kevin Costner, the GM, playing the GM, they have the number one pick, and they're going to, you know, that this stud quarterback is kind of the Trevor Lawrence of the draft. Everyone knows you should take him. But doing his due diligence, the coach, Kevin Costner, the GM, uncover something that's really interesting. And he finds out that nobody on the team went to the quarterback's birthday party. When he turned 18, no one was at his birthday. And why was no one at his birthday? Why was no one on his high school team at his 18th birthday? Because nobody liked him, right? And he did a little bit more digging into that, and he ended up trading out of the first pick and doing something that everyone in the NFL was laughing at him for. And I think, you know, that character that Tim Tebow brings into the fold, where they still can't explain how he won in the NFL doing things the way that he did them, the character is part of it. You block harder for a guy that you like, right? A galvanizing leader can bring the best out of you, whereas a ho-hum performer cannot. And I have always felt that you could see that on the football field as it pertains to wins and losses, and I would evaluate quarterbacks as such. Folks, I don't know what to make of this, and Lonzo, I need your help here as well, because Pat Mahomes and Daniel Jones are shredding everything I ever thought I knew about evaluating quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech went 16-21. His record as a starter was 16-21 at Texas Tech. I'm going to draft that guy? He's shredding the league. I mean, like, it is legitimately unfair how good Pat Mahomes is at 23 years of age, right? Is that what he is, 23 years of age? Is he 23 now? 24? I mean, get me that age for me, Lonzo, if you don't mind. He's 16-21 at Texas Tech. Daniel Jones at Duke, guess what the record was? 17-19. All right, 17-19, you're going to take Duke's quarterback.
He's 24.
Did you see what, thank you, you see what Daniel Jones did to the Buccaneers last week? Down 28-10, they bring Daniel Jones into the game, they come marching right back. Daniel Jones looks just like Eli Manning to me. It's like they traded in an old Eli Manning for a new Eli Manning, only he's a little bit more athletic. He can run the ball a little bit more, but his arm strength is the same. His demeanor's the same. He's got that aw shucks look on his face. That's exactly the same. Lonzo, no?
No. Daniel Jones has his mouth closed. He looks intelligent, and he doesn't look bored or lost.
Well, you're forgetting what Eli Manning was when he came into the league. They're very similar.
Exactly what I just said.
Yeah, they're very similar.
He looked bored. He looked lost. Okay. He just looked like, where's my brother?
They're very, very similar. And so for me, as a guy that looked at how you were able to galvanize your team, as a guy that looked at how you were able to elevate the performance of your team, I'm questioning the way I evaluate quarterbacks now, because I would never have taken Daniel Jones with the sixth pick. On this very show, I said Will Greer will have a better career than Daniel Jones. On this very show, Will Greer isn't even the backup at Carolina now. I bet you if the Panthers had that Will Greer draft pick back, they wouldn't take him. Because Cam's out, they've got their starter. Maybe they wanted a backup, but I don't know. Gardner Minshew has been more impressive than Will Greer here in the early going. And Pat Mahomes, look, I knew he put up a ton of numbers at Texas Tech, and living in Houston, Texas Tech was a visible program, and you knew that Tech had this quarterback that threw the ball over the field. But if I'm honest with you, I kind of looked at him like I looked at Hawaii and Timmy Chang a few years ago. Timmy Chang, do you realize Timmy Chang had the all-time passing yardage leader, was the all-time passing yardage leader in NCAA history, and when he played for June Jones at Hawaii, threw the ball all over the field. Doesn't mean he's an NFL quarterback. And people would say, oh, but Pat Mahomes' arm. Well, why aren't they winning more? Well, they're not winning more because the defense was historically bad, right?
See, I think the Mahomes thing is easy. You can be the best player on a really bad team. You're not going to help them win if the rest of the team is so much worse than you are good. And I think he came into the league at a perfect place with Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid, they show it all the time, sitting over there on the bench with them.
So is it Andy Reid or is it Pat Mahomes? Should we say the same thing about Pat Mahomes that we do about Tom Brady, that you say that it's not Tom Brady, that it's Bill Belichick?
If it wasn't for the no-look passes and things like that, maybe you could. But Pat Mahomes is also doing things that people have never done before and doing it successfully. One thing about Andy Reid is he wins, and he's gotten a little bit better each year.
Freudian slip there.
No, it was not what you said.
Let's go back and hear what
you said. Well, we will. Because
okay, please.
It was,
please.
No. Anyway,
Lonzo just said, son of a.
No, I did not. I did not do that.
I think you did. What do you guys think? Did you guys hear it? Did Lonzo
the
drop
fact
it?
The fact that you're going to exploit this
let's see, I have a lot of phlegm.
232,
and I think it was about 15 seconds. So, Lonzo, without you listening to it, let's go back and replay that tape a little bit later in the show.
No, I'm not doing that.
You won't do it because you know I'm right?
No, because if I did slip and say what you said, I am hurt and broken right now, and I might just leave. Because,
oh, come on.
No, come on. I don't do that.
You don't hold that against yourself for a Freudian slip. I'll say that without a Freudian slip.
I know you would, and I would hold that against myself. And the other thing is Daniel Jones is, I'm not surprised he's doing what he's doing, but the sample size is very, very small, and he's very smart. He went to Duke, and I think he's smart enough to figure out how to do things. Some of these guys come in with a lot of talent, and they're not very smart, and they just can't handle – how complicated things are, like offenses and defenses and all the reads and everything that you have to do when you come up to the line, and Daniel Jones is smart enough to do all that.
Pat Mahomes has been called a savant at the quarterback position. Just studies and loves it all and analyzes everything. You know, for as great as Pat Mahomes' arm is, his greatest strength may be his brain. And if you give Andy Reid 50% of the credit for Pat Mahomes' success, guess who you can't do that for? Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has an ignoramus as head coach and a general manager, right? Who's lone saving grace, and they will yell at anyone who will listen to them. Dave Gettleman, Pat Shermer, how do you like Daniel Jones now? Well, you should say that, because none of us thought you should have drafted him, and we were wrong, and you look to be right. But Daniel Jones doesn't have the benefit of a brilliant coach, of a brilliant general manager. You know, the formula for winning a Super Bowl in the NFL is as close to an A grade as possible at coach, general manager, owner, and quarterback. Owner, general manager, coach, and quarterback. And the Giants, I don't know if they're an F in all three of those, but they're close. And now suddenly they've got a quarterback that I think they can win with who doesn't have the benefit of any great coaching, right? I don't know, folks. And let me ask you, what is your take on this? Because I used to look at guys like Daniel Jones, who really did squat at Duke, 17-19. I used to look at guys like Pat Mahomes, and you know, not bat an eyelash. Do you know how ticked I would have been had Houston drafted Pat Mahomes over Deshaun Watson? Like, I was happy that the Chiefs drafted ahead of Houston and took Pat Mahomes, because the guy I wanted was Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson is fantastic and he's great. But just like the Houston Rockets selected Hakeem Olajuwon over Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon's great, Michael Jordan's better. Deshaun Watson's great. Pat Mahomes, gosh, this pains me to say it, might be better, right? Might be better than Deshaun Watson. And I never would have done that based on the college resume. National champion Deshaun Watson, player of the year Deshaun Watson, 400 yards passing against Alabama Deshaun Watson versus Pat Mahomes, 16-21, a record of 10-17. A record of 10-17 in conference. You kidding me? No, thank you. No, thank you. And I am so wrong. And the egg is on my face. And now I realize I've got to look, you know, and look, you do evaluate arm strength and, you know, decision-making on the football field, but I would gloss over the Pat Mahomes and the Daniel Jones if they didn't do anything collegiately. And I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Those two guys are like Aaron Rodgers. You know, not a great college resume, are lighting the world on fire in the NFL, and their biggest asset is their brain. Pat Mahomes, savant, Daniel Jones, brilliant, brilliantly getting the job done. Do you see some of the passes Daniel Jones threw in that game? Like, there was one where he was on the move where he perfectly slid it in between two defenders, and his Giants receiver was sliding out of bounds, put it right there. Player sliding out of bounds, it's right there, man. So impressive. So impressive indeed. And I'm not rooting for guys to fail just because I want to be right. I'm okay with being wrong. I'm just, these guys are making me rethink how I look at college quarterbacks. And maybe wins isn't what we need to be doing. Maybe wins isn't what we need to be targeting. Okay, coming up next on the show, so much good stuff remaining between now and the end of the show today. I am incredibly exhausted with a certain level of arrogance having to do with this sport. I'll share with you what that is next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Mike Kickbush tweets into the show, says, Mark, culture plays a part as to the number one reason why Clemson is better than South Carolina, but there was one big glaring omission from Tim Frisbee's list, and culture. That is, Dabo's a far superior coach and has brilliant coordinators. Culture plays a part, but coaching is far more important. Mike, I'd argue they're one and the same. I'd argue Dabo's greatest achievement as a head coach is establishing that culture, is establishing a culture that blue chip kids and their blue chip parents want to be a part of. Okay? There you go. So, I mean, it is what it is, man. I think that's his greatest coaching achievement. I shared with you earlier today that for the first time ever, Greenville Spartanburg has surpassed 1 million people in population. And as a radio market, we're now the 58th largest radio market in the country. We are 38th in TV size because the TV market includes Asheville. We are now large. We jumped over Buffalo in the latest rankings, and we're larger than Birmingham. And we're setting our sights as a market on Jacksonville, OKC, New Orleans, Memphis. They're all in our crosshairs. So Tiger Clint is on the Lonzo train, and he says, look, enough expansion. I think the growth is amazing. Mr. Tiger says, it's all good, Mark. The few times I've listened to your show, I've enjoyed it. Your tweets are sometimes suspect, but your show is solid. Mr. Tiger, I really do appreciate that. Thank you very much for the kind words. Yeah, my tweets can be a little bit suspect, but 100% know that they are in line with my beliefs. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes my beliefs are a little bit suspect. It is what it is. Folks, I firmly believe that the job saver for Ron Rivera, he might have gotten that gift from the sky last week with Kyle Allen. I really firmly believe that. For this kid to come out and do what he did last week against the Arizona Cardinals was something to behold. As a matter of fact, I mean, I think you could have put any other, and listen to this, because you might think this is another crazy Mark Ryan assessment. I think you could have taken any other quarterback in the National Football League, including Pat Mahomes, and put them in that situation, and they wouldn't have done any better. Not one quarterback could have fared any better than Kyle Allen did last week with that team, with that playbook, in that particular game. 19 for 26, 261 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 144.4. Kyle Allen is exactly what this fan base needed to reinvest in the team. And Diddy was talking to me about this, says he feels Cam Newton needs to be shopped. You know, and you're out and about now. You're seeing more Panthers hats, conversations out at the bar. People, the Panthers are now a topic of conversation again. And it's because Kyle Allen and how great he was. And realize, you know, the Kyle mania is just getting started here. It's just been birthed. But gosh, guys, I mean, normally you see a guy start out okay and then become good and then become great. Where does Kyle Allen go from here? I mean, goodness gracious, 19 for 26, four touchdowns, no interceptions in an NFL game for a guy that had only started one NFL game previously last year, played great in that one as well. Folks, Kyle Allen is the savior to Ron Rivera's job. Do you realize that? This guy is going to save Ron Rivera's job. Ron Rivera, nice as could be to Alonzo and I at Carolina Panthers training camp, but also listed by Las Vegas as the odds-on favorite to be the first coach to be fired this year. New owner Dave Tepper doesn't put up with any BS, significantly upping expectations. I had a Carolina Panthers staffer tell me off the record when we were out there for training camp, the difference is under Dave Tepper compared to Richardson, that there's less of a family atmosphere and more of a pressure on performance. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe Clemson needs to feel like family, and maybe Carolina Panthers need a little kick in the pants, right? I mean, different strokes for different folks. It's working for you. It's working for them. Kyle Allen is performing like he's the savior for Ron Rivera. And the fact that they were able to find Kyle Allen, undrafted free agent. I mean, you talk about a steal, you talk about a find, you talk about the best undrafted players in NFL history. Kyle Allen is not far from appearing on that list, folks. Imagine if he leads the Panthers to the playoffs this year, undrafted free agent. Imagine what will happen to his career, to his status. A complete and total unknown. I bet you his agent told him before the year, Kyle, you're in a great spot. You're going to beat out Taylor Heinicke. Cam Newton is not going to be 100%, and guess who they're going to turn to? It's you versus Will Greer for the starting job on the Carolina Panthers. And if you get that, man, the sky's the limit for what you can do. I wish I had a job saver in Tampa. When I was in Tampa Bay and had my dream job at the time, hosting with Booger McFarland, the reason why we were traded to a different radio company and why that radio company, Beasley, flipped the format of our station away from sports is in large part because the first program director of that radio station signed the worst rights deal in the history of sports radio. In the market of Tampa Bay, a market that includes the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Rays, our competitor station had the three professional teams in the marketplace, the Rays, the Bucks, the Lightning. They also had the Florida Gators. The first program director signed a four-year exclusive rights deal with USF, the USF Bulls in that market, okay, where USF had first right of refusal. You couldn't air Rays games, Tampa Bay Rays games, because if the Bulls were playing a basketball game, USF had first right of refusal. That's why the station sunk. You didn't have a broadcast partner, right? I wish I'd had a Kyle Allen at that job. The job sinker was the horrible deal that had been signed. That was the major, major issue there. But gosh, this kid, man, I'm telling you. And you don't, Alonzo, I don't want to put too much on 1 week. I don't. But he played so well in that 1 week, it's almost hard not to. How do you play that well if you're not legit? I've never seen a player look that good in 1 week that was a fraud. Never.
Keep in mind, they're going to be playing a better defense this week.
Not really.
You don't think they're better than Arizona?
I've covered the Houston Texans for years. Houston's secondary sucks. Okay, sucks. Who's their best cornerback? You know him well. Who's their best cornerback?
Jonathan Joseph.
Jonathan Joseph is older than you. Okay?
He's not older than me, but he's been in the league for a while.
He's older than you. He's their best cornerback. Okay? They lost Honey Badger to your team, the Chiefs. Their best safety is Tayshawn Gibson. The secondary's awful. The defensive line has lost Jadeveon Clowney. Okay, the defense is ripe for the picking, man. I'm telling you, it may not be as bad as Arizona's.
Last I checked, they still had J.J. Watt. Can you name a major player on Arizona's defense? At least they have a
right.
They have someone who's. Right. I think he's pretty good. So we'll see. We will see. I hope Kyle Allen does well, but sample size, we saw one game against a defense that's not very good, and that offense almost came back and beat them. So we'll see what happens. They're going up against a better offense too. Unless the Carolina defense can actually put some pressure on Deshaun Watson. We'll see.
All right. An analytics company has the total number of wins for South Carolina this season. I'll give you that number next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. So an analytics program has provided numbers for the number of wins that South Carolina is going to have the rest of the way. Already sitting here at 1-3, Mark Stoops saying the Gamecocks are the best 1-3 team in the country. And you're looking the rest of the way. Right, this program lists the Gamecocks as having a 60.8% chance of beating Kentucky, a 57% chance of beating Tennessee, an 80% chance of beating Vanderbilt, and a 78% chance of beating Appalachian State. 9% against Georgia, 28% against Florida, 18% against A&M, 10% chance now against Clemson. 10% chance against Clemson. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But if you win the games you're supposed to win, you win five games. If you win one that you're not supposed to, it looks like Florida's the best chance. Much to my dismay, you go to a bowl game. There for South Carolina. Okay, the top three at three is coming your way next, which can only be heard right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.